I love you and appreciate you, and I know you love me. And Paul said, if I make you sad, then who's going to make me glad? You're my joy in the Lord. Well, being Friday night, that means that Sunday night is close by, and Sunday night we'll be up in Boone, North Carolina. Some of you were at the Owens tent. They're preaching for Brother Owens. He blessed us. And the people rallied good from here and around in that area. And we had a full house and a lot of people on the outside. And I don't know who we'll have at this meeting. You never know till you get there. But we'll be going up to Boone's, North Carolina. But this is the reason for world evangelism, is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, to go out in the highways and hedges to compel them to come in, that the house of the Lord might be filled. And of course, when you begin to go into hedges, you have to watch for the snakes. But still, at the same time, you can bring people into the house of God. A lot of people say, well, I feel, you know, it's just me and somebody said, me, my four, no more, you know. And they said, well, if we got a few people in the church, all the rest of them going to hell anyway, and I can't be bothered with them, and we're going to get our people right, and we're going to go. And that's the way the Lord wants it, because few there be that find it anyway. Well, some of that's right. As a matter of fact, just enough of it for the devil to use you. But the truth of it is, as the Bible has said, go out in the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in that my house might be filled. So that the Lord likes a big congregation. He likes for the house to be filled up. If you got any empty seats, fill them up. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, why don't you fill them up? Because, as somebody else said, kind of lets me off the hook to that extent, that sheep beget sheep, shepherds don't beget sheep. So you go out into the highways and hedges and you fill them up. I'll feed them. I'm the shepherd. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, I tell you what, I like to go out and I like to bring them in too. Sing that song, Bring Them In from the Fields of Sin. And I like to do that. That's always been my life, to go out into the fields and bring them in. We get so many encouraging letters from around the world. Sister Betty was calling to my attention one that she got today. And one of those letters was from, I believe it's a Solomon, is it, Betty? He has a prison ministry in Africa. And he had gotten to a man that was a noted robber, bank robber, I believe it was. And he's in prison for quite a long while, or having to go to the judgment or something. I don't know just exactly. We get so many letters till I get kind of scrambled up sometime. David and some of them will be reading these letters over the radio. They've started with a regularity reading letters over the radio. I told somebody the other day, I said, we need to just kind of pour the letters out in a heap and just take a picture of the letters. Somebody said, if we did, said the whole floor would be covered in this room. But anyway, we have got a lot of letters. This particular person had gotten hold of our literature and said never before had anything affected him, but this had greatly affected him until he had given his heart to God and said he did not feel like he was in prison. He said now that he had God, he did not feel like he was in prison. He said he was free. And then she got another letter from India, I believe it was, from India. And this one was a track that they translated into the Telugu language. And this man had affiliated himself with us here and had 50,000 Telugu tracks printed up. And, of course, on the top of it, he had God's Healing Word, which was the name of the track. And of course, he had my name as a doctor instead of an evangelist. But to them, you know, that's what you are. And as the Bible said, physician, heal thyself. So we're doctors of the Spirit. And if you want to remind the outside world, they'll give you a certificate so you can have it with you and tell everybody. But anyway, a lot of times they address us as doctor or reverend. They've got a number of titles. They greet us as doctor or reverend or as devil or whatever, you know. Some of them calls us a devil. Some of them calls us a doctor. Some say we're a prophet, and some say that some names that I can't even repeat here. But we've got all kind of things that they call us. But we've got one title that we claim, and that is they were first called Christians at Antioch, and I claim to be a Christian. Someone would say, well, don't Christian mean Christ-like? Yes, that's true. And someone said, well, isn't that a big claim for you, Brother Pike? No, it's not a big claim for me. It's just the reasonable claim. Someone said, well, then you feel like you're Christ-like. Yes, I feel like I'm Christ-like. So someone will say, well, what foundation as to a basis would you place that upon? I'd place that upon the fact that I'm not good, but he is, and he's given me his righteousness. And the Bible said I'm the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. It's not me living, but Christ. So if it's Christ living, I'd have to be Christ-like. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, if I boast, Paul said, I'll boast in the Lord. Says this will be the last service. My wife must have wrote this because that sounds like authority. Somebody said, women can't have authority. I never read that in the Bible. Where'd you read that? Said, I suffer not the woman to have authority over the man. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. That's kind of like some of these churches, you know, they won't let a woman do anything as to the business world. You know, when it comes to God's business, saying that we don't allow that. But nevertheless, they make preachers out of them and evangelists out of them and all kinds of things as to the work of the Lord, whereas Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, which is the greatest business in the world, to fulfill what Jesus said, blind guys that strained a gnat and swallowed a camel. And then besides that, as to the natural world, when it's not associated with religion, as to this, they put them to work and they let them work in offices or anywhere else. They don't care how much authority they have, just as long as they bring home the paycheck. Let's give the Lord another one. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful the things that you discover as you walk with the Lord? All right. It's no wonder Jesus said on one occasion that the wicked shall not see when good cometh, for their eyes are blinded, even the eyes of their understanding, that they should not see that this great wonderful light is to this understanding shining in darkness. They cannot comprehend it. But ye are not children of darkness, that day should come upon you unawares. But ye are children of light, and you will know when it's nigh, even at hand, even at the door. And folks, I'm telling you, it's nigh, even at the door. And you that are real Christians, you know that without me having to tell you. I want to read just a little bit and talk with you. And share a few thoughts with you. Coming of the Lord is so close at hand. Chapter 13, 24th verse, St. Mark. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, when a branch is yet tender, and putteth forth the leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Right? Jesus had expounded the word of the Lord as to the coming of the Lord. And he had told them about the desolation and the different things, whereas one night, the Lord being kind to us, maybe we'll really elaborate on the abomination of desolation. A lot of people are curious about that, and they want to know. Jesus had told them about the signs of the time, and the prophesied come of Joel, as in that day that there would be fire and vapor of smoke, whereas it is true that in these hours we have what they call this mushroom, where when they drop these bombs, it goes up into a great vapor of smoke, has two pillars of smoke. And the things that Jesus spoke of as to the signs in the heavens, it is starting to take place. For in our age, it is in this age that scientists are examining the celestial world, as they refer to it, being a typical source. Thus, the signs of the heavens are made known to us every day. Even to our school children, the signs of the time are made known to us as to confirm that in the latter days I will pour out of my spirit, saith God, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream or see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my handmaidens in that day I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And in the day that we're living in, the handmaidens prophesy as well as the men. And as it was, Philip had some daughters, and they prophesied. And the Spirit of God is being poured out through the grace as to the blood being on the seat of atonement, and all flesh is seeing the glory of God. And the heavens are declaring his handiwork. And there's nation against nation. There's kingdom against kingdom. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's people deceiving and being deceived. There's famines and troubles and sorrows, earthquakes, and all of these kind of things. And they're delivering the Christians up for a testimony against them, just like the little episode here that we have in Monroe, where they are at this time delivering up our own son as for a testimony against them in that day. And they've done that. They've set in to get the preachers, and a number of the preachers they have delivered into court. And I know that preachers have faults just like everybody else. I realize that, but most of the time, they will watch the preacher to find any discrepancy, magnify it, and they'll watch the children of God to take them to the cross like they did in the Dark Age when they killed out them that were really, truthfully God's people. And when they got spiritualists of the Dark Age, they called them witches and they burned them at the stake. And in our day, the more spiritual you are, the more devout you are as to have a real God life and a God service as to a God people and a God church, the more they pounce on you and call you strange people. And if you relate to the world and you're just a religious reprobate that can go into a charismatic sort of a way of life and just frolic and add everything else as to the natural, to your religion, then they'll join your church and you'll gladly receive them into it and everything's fine. And they'll christen you as to what you want to do, and they'll praise you in your polluted minds and polluted way of life. So, when you take the scripture to come out from the world, to be a separate people, to touch not the unclean things, to mortify the deeds of the body, and to have self-denial, is to swear to your own hurt, as the Bible said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer, then with this, they don't want any part of you, and they start trying to, as the lawyer said a few days ago, to excommunicate you and move you out. But nevertheless, God is still with us, and our enemies can't stand against us. If they come out against us one way, God will make them flee before seven ways. And the Bible said, if your ways please God, I will make your enemies come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. And God forces them to take a bow. He will continue to do this. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, when do you think God will stop doing this? He has never stopped doing it since the foundation of the world. Though the church has been persecuted and greatly oppressed, he hath never at any time allowed Satan or the people of the world to triumph over the church. Maybe a momentarily thing as to when they put the martyrs to death and whatever, but as Fox's Book of Martyrs says, that when they killed them, it was like planting seed in the ground. And when they killed one, to plant that one, they'd be two or three to five that would spring up from that. And God has never allowed it, and he never will allow it until after the church has been translated and gone out. Now, when the church is translated and gone out, the grace will be gone then, and it will be left up to the people and those that are left in the world as to those that have to pass through the tribulation period. And in that time, Antichrist will rise up, and he will take over and cause everyone to take the number or name of the beast. In that people are nothing but beasts. If you're not born again, then you're a beast, unless you're elect. And if you're elect, then somewhere down the line you'll be changed from that old beastly form. But otherwise, you're just beast. And as it started with the problem in the garden as to the beast that caused the problem, then the whole thing will eventually head up in the beast, and the beast will come back for his body. Just like as to those that started in Christ, he'll come back for his body as to Jesus. And those that miss the translation, they will go through the tribulation period. And during that time, Satan will have power over all nations. So God will never suffer him to have power over his bride, or to defile his bride, nor to do anything that would get control of his bride. Oppressions, sorrows, heartaches, all of these things, we're subject to them in the sense that we're still unchanged in our outer person. But the Lord will never suffer him to do anything to the church. We're always the victor. And the Bible said, thank God who always gives us the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in the Lord Jesus. So we today have power over all the powers of the enemy. I have given unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. For as to Christ within you, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, and that Satan is the prince of this world. And rather than you being afraid of demons and devils, devils are afraid of you. Now, I know it might sound just a little bit foreign to some of you when I say devils are afraid of you. A lot of people would think, well, I just don't see how devils could be afraid of me. They're not afraid of you to this extent, that if you don't walk upright before God and if you're not filled with the Spirit, they're not afraid of you to the extent as to being afraid that you'll let God utilize your potentials as to bind them or to cast them out or to torment them. So as a result of that, they oppress and torment you. But one that loved the Lord, that recognizes their sonship, that knows that they are a son of God, in that the Bible said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. And they make an effort to be filled with the Spirit, and they try to conform to the Word, and they have faith and confidence in the Word. Just in the simplicity of Christianity, devils fear them. Devils tremble before them. And as it was said to the 70, when they went out, they came back rejoicing, saying that the devils are subject unto us in your name. As Jesus said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. But they said the devils are subject unto us. And so then, brethren, the devils are subjected unto you. You are not subjected unto devils, though you are subjected unto vanity as to your first birth. But your interspirit, as to the angels being greater than we are, as to strength, power, might, because our spirits are not equal. As to the inner man, our spirit is not equal to an angel. An angel is more powerful. But when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, our spirit is interwoven with the Spirit of Christ. It's Christ then living within us. Then the angels are not equal to us, but we are far more powerful than they are. So then the devils tremble. When they know you've got the Holy Ghost, they watch and they approach very cautiously. Because if at any time you should utilize your ability, you have the power to cast them out. Like when Jesus came into the land of Gadara, there when the legion run out at Jesus, all of a sudden Jesus said, what is your name? He said, Legion, for we are many. And when Jesus started to call them out, suddenly they said, have you come to torment us before our time? And if you're going to cast us out, let us go away into the swine of about 2,000, as he said, that ran violently down the steep place and perished in the water when the spirits left Legion and entered into them. And of course, the people in that land, they wasn't satisfied because the hogs had drained themselves, and they had rather have hogs than have that kind of healing. So they told Jesus to leave, and he left. But I said that to say this. When Jesus came, though he was a man, just like I'm a man, just like you are a human being, Jesus was a human being, but devils literally shuddered. They trembled. Somebody would say, well, I can understand it, Jesus, but not anybody else. But when the sons of Sceva went over and said, we adjure you by the Christ or the God that Paul preacheth, they said, Jesus we know, and they said, in Paul we know, but who are you? And the Bible said, the men in whom the devils were, these men with a viciousness as to supernatural strength overcome and he overcome and just tore the people up just like a cat clawing or a dog just ripping the flesh. Tore their garments off of them. And they were abused and wounded. And they left off with what they were doing as to their foolishness. So then, folks, I just said that to say this, that we are sons of God. We do have power over the spirits. And because we do have power over the spirits, then that means that we have the power to cast out devils. And Jesus said, go preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we've been around the world, preached around the world, and we have not been able to preach the gospel to every creature. But we have been able to preach the gospel to every kind of creature. And we've been able to preach the gospel and put the gospel in many languages, about every major language of the world. And in this, we've been able to cast out many devils. And we've been able to break the yoke. And we've been able to bring healing to the sick. And we've been blessed with financial prosperity. And we've been blessed with prophecies and tongues and interpretation and the gifts. At one time or another, every one of the gifts. And we've been blessed as to see the wonderful things of God take place that he said would take place. And we've been blessed to do what little that we could to brighten the corner of our life as to show what little we could for Christ's sake. See, but we're striving to do more, and we want to do more as long as there's breath in the body. Then we have a responsibility to God. And we want to do everything we can as toward that responsibility to win souls, that when we stand before God, that we won't stand before God empty-handed, but we'll stand there rejoicing, as the songwriter said, bringing in the sheaves. For he that goeth forth and soweth in tears, he doubtless shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. A lot of times the reason we don't bring in sheaves is because we don't pray and we don't cry before God. The Bible said in Jesus offered up supplication with strong crying. And because he did this, then he was heard of God. And so then when we get our minds off of our faces, off of our bodies, off of our prosperities to wealth, off of our programs, off of our exuberance and ambitions as to what we call our ministry and our lives, and we begin to try to allow God through submission, divine submission, to incorporate us within his plan, and to stop trying to get control of God to incorporate him in our plans, then we're going to see a great move of God. We're going to see a great harvest. Because we're living in the end of the world. And in the end of the world, this is why you see so many revivals, is because it is harvest time. And the harvest is great. Jesus said the laborers are few, but the harvest is great. As in our age, about 5 billion people that we are supposed to go to, and out of that reap a great, wonderful harvest. And there's a lot of room. A lot of times people get jealous of a minister or of a ministry or of his efforts. When there's plenty of room, you know, it's like the ocean. There's plenty and plenty of different kinds of species in the ocean, but they've never drank up all the water. There's just plenty of water and there's plenty of room
to where if you want to do something for God, then don't be jealous against someone else. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And don't let the someone else be jealous against you. There's plenty of room. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Fellowship one another. It is the true fact that if you belong to the body of Christ, you're going to fellowship the body of Christ. And you're not going to be an alien that will get off by yourself and do your thing as to feel like, well, this is my part and that's his part and that's their part. You're not going to do that because the body of the Lord Jesus is not divided. One of the things that was learned by the people that wanted to divide his robe, that there was no seams in that robe. It was woven throughout. For the Bible said one of the things that God hates is they that cause division among the saints of God. But we are interwoven in heart and in spirit, and we are but one flesh as that in our first birth that came from Adam. And we are but one flesh as in that of Jesus, where we're born again as bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. So then, we are trying to do our little part for God, trying to bring forth fruit unto perfection. And when we talk to you, we use a simple approach as to say these few little things so that you will be enthused by them and show your zeal to the world for Jesus. See, but at the same time, we're trying to correlate minds, bring people together in one mind and one accord, because when you find a body of believers that can come together in one mind, even the mind of the Lord Jesus, one accord, and that's to be about the Father's business, even as they did on Pentecost, then the Spirit of God, without hindrance in the membership of his body, will come like a mighty rushing wind, break all the yokes. He will cause the faith of God to rise, and the bodily members will be filled with the Spirit of God, and great things will begin to happen. For if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Look at what we can do as a bodily member. As to coming together as a unit, joining ourselves together, then we have great and mighty strength. As to one, he may fall and there's no one to help him up, Solomon said. But two, if one falls, the other can help him up. And three, the Bible said, in a threefold cord is not easily broken. So then we find that if we're really the body of Jesus Christ, then are we the same yesterday, today, and forever? That this body started at Pentecost as the church, and today it's the same wonderful church. A lot of people say, well, I'm Pentecostal, Brother Pike. Well, that's all right. I have no objection to that. That's fine. If you are Pentecostal, that's fine. I'm a Christian. And I prefer to be a Christian because a lot of times Pentecostals, as they say, aren't Christians. But people who are Christ-like are Christians. And people who are Christians truly are Christ-like. So I am a Christian. And I prefer to walk with the Lord and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so far as Pentecost, it is true that Pentecost was a Jewish festival that marked a day of deliverance, and that this was an allegoric type approaching unto our day, wherein God had brought this thing so that everybody could understand that when the Spirit came, this was the day of liberty. Because when the first church was set up, all of those people that gathered together at Pentecost was Jewish people. See, we think that there at Pentecost, everybody gathered around. But folks, why should have anybody come to that feast except the Jews? That was the day of Pentecost. That was the Pentecostal feast of the Jews that they'd always esteemed and hallowed as a sacred moment, because it was the time of the year when everybody forgave everybody their indebtedness. And it was a great time of rejoicing. And God had promised them that if they would do this, then he would greatly bless them. So then, it is true that there was Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia. See, all of these people were there, but they were Jews. And they were from every nation under heaven there at Pentecost. They were there at Pentecost. And they'd come in, and these people had come to the feast. Come to the feast. See, when we think about that, of course, we think about America, and we think about a lot of the other countries, but a lot of these countries wasn't in effect. if nobody discovered these countries at that time. But these people that were scattered abroad, they came together and they were acquainted with the other languages as to the different kind of people and nations. And when they came together, it was a great Pentecost. Like as of now, God is gathering his Jewish people together. All of them are coming together. I made the statement, he let them go into all the world. He scattered them so that they could go to the schools and colleges and dwell among the people and learn their ways and learn their characteristics, because they're going to be the head of the nation. And he's going to bring them all back together. And when they come back together, they will know every trait of every kind of people. For the Bible said it's to Moses, and he was learned in all of the ways of the Egyptians. And when they come back as to the memberships of the body of the Lord Jesus, they will be familiar with all of the people as to relate to their infirmities or their desires, and to work with them and be able to control them as a nation. There won't be not one kind of people that they don't understand, like in the days of Eichmann as to the German persecution or as to the Russian persecution and all these other things. Now they're returning back to their homeland as great science, as great artists, as great men of skill and understanding, and some of them being very wealthy. But the thing is, they did come together, and they did come together receiving the infilling of the Spirit. And 3,000 people repented of their sins and was born of God. The apostles was of the Jewish people. Paul was of the Jewish people. And when you go into the Holy Land, you find that a few miles over here, and you find a great thing would take place, as I said the other night, Samson slaying the lion. And you see the exuberance of God, and you see the power and strength of God manifested. Go a little farther and you see a place where Elijah was walking along, and a fiery chariot come down and took him away. Go down a little farther and you find a place called Sodom and Gomorrah down near the Dead Sea, where fire just come down out of heaven and just swept everything away. I burned it up. And on, just every few miles, there's fantastic things that took place. Then the question arises again, why did it take place over in that country, which had less in that country than we have in this country, in that we are spiritual Jews, and in that we're the bride of Christ? Why would that be? See, those people didn't have the Holy Ghost, but yet the Holy Ghost was with them. The Bible speaks of the Old Testament and the Spirit of Christ being with them, and these things taking place, thus signifying the coming of the mighty Holy Ghost entering into his temple, which is your body, as to say the days of Solomon when the days of David was ended. As to bring in Solomon, as to that on this side of Calvary, when the Jesus days, as to the Moses side was ended, as to the kingdom of David, and then the Solomon time come in, and then the Bible said, and the great train of the Lord filled the temple. And so then you're the temples of the Holy Ghost, and the great Spirit of God has filled the temple. And it is the great day of peace, even as America has always been peace in America. Though there's problems and troubles all around, all of the wars are fought across the sea as a rule, because it is the days of Solomon, of this great wonderful time of building the temple as to the lively stones, whereas ye are the stones. And he said, because ye spake often of me, I will remember you and spare you as a man spareth his son when I come to make up my jewels. And so then we are the jewels of that great city as to the temple of Solomon, built up into a holy priesthood toward that great cornerstone of that prism that was struck at Calvary, as to the refraction of the light, and refracting that light brought the seven church ages in, as to the revealing of the seven church age messengers, as to the different colors of the rainbow, as to say the attributes of God, or the seven candlesticks that represent it, as we see this in the book of Revelation. So, we see that God is doing a great and a mighty thing in our day. And it makes me happy, because in the days of Solomon, he married all kind of wives. In the days of David, he just stayed with one kind of wife, though he had many members of his wife, as to marrying numbers of women, but he stayed principally with the Jewish people. But with Solomon, it wasn't so. He took strange wives, all kind of wives. And of course, in our day, it is that the Spirit of God is poured out upon all kind of people. The Japanese and the German and the Jews and the Americans and all of the Gentiles. And out of this comes the bride of Christ. Out of all nations come the bride of Christ coming together, because in Solomon's day, that's the way it was. But at the same time, in Solomon's day, there were those that turned Solomon's heart away from God. So then, as it was with Solomon, there came the death blow. And as with Jesus, there came the death blow, as to take the sins of the world upon him, being made sin, so that we could go free. We who had never known the great kingdom, as you would say, in that day, those people had never known the great kingdom of God as to Solomon's regime, until he took the strange wives and brought them to himself, and even to appease some of them made what is called different things of different artifacts in that day, so that it would just please them. And it turned his heart away from God, kind of like down in Babylon when the king took people over there out of strange countries as to what his kingdom was, and built the hanging gardens over there just to please them, to make it look like a forest as the different levels along the wall. And Solomon made these quaint things and strange things out of his wisdom so that they would be pacified. All right, we're living in that day right now, in this great, wonderful day. And from all of the world, it's coming together as these stones. And I've said before that you couldn't raise up a hammer. You couldn't make any noise. It had to be a peaceful thing. There could be no war, as it was like as to the Jewish age or the kingdom of David. And so then they had to bring their pieces at the right time. Everybody from around the world, they had to work out their little piece over here. And this was given to this man over here to cut the wood. And this was to hew the stone. And another was to the fine gold and the silver. And when everything was made according to God's plan, every man brought his part. And then they just fitted it together like a glove. See, and that's where we're coming to now. There's the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterian and all the rest of them. And out of all of them, there's coming somebody that loves God. And he's beginning to draw them into the Jesus name move now. Not as a denomination, but he's beginning to woo them and draw them out of the denominational barriers. While there were yet children, there had to be fences of separation to protect the children. That is, raising little chicks, as Jesus said, gathering you as a hen with her brood. Raising the little chicks, there has to be the little tiny chicks over here, and then there has to be the brawler over here, and there has to be, as we say, the friars over here, and over here the hens, and the roosters over here as to the grown-up chicks. So we find that God, in doing this, severally divided, that it might be that each part was fenced off, and the little children were protected from the traffic and stayed right with mother and dad. But now the barriers are being broken down. All of the denominational barriers are being broken down. And the church of God goes to the assembly of God, and the assembly of God preaches with the church of God. And now some in the charismatic are coming in, and these are going in and out. And now you don't know what's what anymore. See, they're all coming together. It's shown in the naturalists in two or three different realms. Now, you used to know what a Japanese was and a German was, and you knew what the black man was and what the white man was and the yellow man was and all these kinds of things, but you don't know anymore. Somebody said, well, I know, Brother Pike, because I can see yellow and red and black and white, and I can tell the difference. I know that you can, just like one time you could say Baptist, Methodist. They would tell you. You could tell it just by looking at them. Each one of them had their own characteristics that was projected, and they had a certain way of dressing and whatever. See, but it isn't that way anymore. All of them's interwoven until you can't tell which is Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever. While Pentecostals would never think about putting paint on their face or cutting their hair. Doesn't matter anymore. Never see them wearing shorts or anything like that. Doesn't matter anymore. Going to the ball game, you meet anybody over at the ball game, even Mr. President himself. You can't tell anymore. And it's the same way with the races. You can't tell. You might find one here that's just as white as you are, as the white man or the white woman, but their origin is as to the Negro. Or you might find one over here that's dark skin, and the origin is of the Caucasian. And it's altogether different. altogether different as to what it was a few years ago. And you can't tell anymore. They're all mixed up. And this is why that God is making a way for one unit where we all come to the house of God. We can all go to the same school or whatever. And I know, you know, we look at one race and we say them old Germans, or we say them old Japanese, or we say them old blacks, or they say them old whites, or whatever it might be, you know. And we say, my, I can't stand to be around them. But the thing is, it's not that at all. It is that old devil that we can't stand. That old lying tongue, that old gossiping tongue, that old backbiting tongue, that old spirit of adultery, that old spirit of murder and hate, vengeance and robbery and all of the base things of life. This is what we can't stand, because that's the thing that God can't stand. And if you're a decent kind of person, even in your morals, you can't stand it. See, but when it comes to just being a human being, it has nothing to do at all with being together. Even as to the hair, one woman's got red hair, another woman's got blonde hair, another woman's got brunette hair, and the same way with the men, and another woman's got gray hair. See, another woman's got silver hair. Another woman just got plain white hair, as it is said of God, and his hair was as white as the wool. So then that means that in this, all has become interwoven. The denominational barriers is breaking down. The children are climbing the fences. They're getting acquainted with their neighbors. And the bad things are happening and good things are happening. And the bad is relating to the bad, and the good is relating to the good. You might have your children fenced in all of their life, and that's good. You know, to watch after them is the best thing in the world. You can have them fenced in, but it's to Esau and Jacob. And whatever the seed is, it's going to come out that way. It doesn't matter how close you keep them. When they tossle out, according to the seed, it's going to be the harvest. And then you're going to be able to tell exactly what they are. And folks, right now we're living in the end of the world. As a matter of fact, it's just been in the last few hours that somebody informed me that here in Atlanta, all of the gays are beginning to come in again. They're coming in for their celebration. Now, the way that I think of it, if I was mayor, I wouldn't allow them to come into my city. I wouldn't allow the Grateful Dead to come into my city. I wouldn't allow all these beatniks and bebops and all that stuff come into my city. I wouldn't do it. In the natural, I wouldn't do it. But on the other hand, if the mayor is natural, he's going to allow for all of it. Because is he any different? Just because someone said, well, there's good moral people. No, there's no such term. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, now if they're not Christian, they're just some good moral decent people. There is no such thing as good moral decent people. The Bible said there's none good but God, and the only way that you and I are good is because we're born of God. So there isn't any such thing. It's no wonder that the mayor will let it come in, and the sheriff and the law will let it come in. The world loveth its own. And a lot of those gays that's parading up and down the street, see, a lot of the lawmen are gays. And a lot of the mayors are gays. And a lot of the people of the world are gays. And some of these people, as to their interwoven problems with each other, are gays. And yet they just don't mix with the public, and they don't let them know it is to the gays. But they do make the way for them to come. It's just like as to the Ku Klux Klan or any other organization that works in secret. There are great men that's out here in the upper world of the echelon, and they are with these organizations, and they are the great leaders of them, and they don't make themselves known as to the public like the others do, but they're the ones that pull the string, like the underworld. See, we think of the underworld as being an abase sort of a thing, a cruel, wretched sort of a thing, but see, the underworld, like as in the days of Al Capone, it's the big man up here that's got the money, that's pulling the strings, that keeps things going while they do his desire. It's like the devil that's climbed up as to the serpent or the worm into the upper lintel as through grace. See, he operates this thing. He's the controller of this thing, and all of the world is in corruption. All of it belongs to the devil. Everything belongs to the devil in the world, except to you that are born again, and that which God has run through the filter as to give to you by faith, in that you sought the kingdom and God purified these particular things that you dedicated unto him. So then the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust there passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then there's really no separation or barriers except that we are born again. And we are in our natural among all these things in the world, but we're not of the world. See, in our spirit we are of God and the kingdom of heaven is within us. So then we are separated by this wonderful grace of God as to the precious Holy Spirit that's on the inside of our interangelic being that's interwoven with our spirit, and it keeps our spirit to where darkness can never touch the spirit of light or this wonderful indwelling spirit. So then Jesus ate with the sinners and with the publicans, and we're commanded to go out and to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. When the Pharisees, who prided themselves in the resurrection and being right, Jesus, knowing that they were hypocrites, they came to Jesus and derided Jesus and said things against Jesus because he ate with the sinners and the publicans. And Jesus, he said to them, he said, it is the sick that need a physician, not the well. See, why should I spend my time with those that do not need me? For I came into the world for one purpose, and that's to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, so then we can tell that, as I said, nigh even at the door, it's the coming of the Lord, and everything is coming together, and this great, wonderful temple of Solomon being built, that from all parts of the world now, each one is coming. And this great, wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revealing of the train within the temple, or this wonderful thing is spreading all around the world. The lights is going out like we said that it would. And the headstone is coming crying, grace, 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 are built up into the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. The last book in the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All the rest of it is the first dimension is the Old Testament, the second dimension as the New Testament, or the second part of it, and then the third dimension is as to that which is revealed, which is the spiritual world, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that God gave unto him. So then we see that now the temple of God is coming together. The way that we look at it, we see a great charismatic move now that says this is the temple of God, and it's all coming together. Everything is melting down. The barriers is melting down. See, even as someone said the other day, as it was that the one that's got PTL, Cirilla, that Morris, Cirilla, made the statement, I am not against denominations. I am not against denominations, but rather against denominationalism. Which makes good sense. But see, the thing is, the barriers are being broken down. They're being broken down and people are becoming interwoven. So the end of the world is here and the stones are coming together. But as to the charismaticism, all of that will head up, as I said, into the things of the world. And those that are in there will come out that are elect, and they'll come to the wonderful understanding of God, to the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, and all of this thing that's called oneness and two-ness and Trinity, all of that will drop into the background, and them that love the Lord will come out as a Christian and join themselves together as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will head up in this wonderful word that's called the capstone and come to the name of Jesus Christ because they are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he said that, they that are called by my name, if they will call on me, repent of their sins, turn away from their sins, I'll hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So the great hour is here of the bringing together of these that's chopped out their little block over here in the Baptist, and these that have chopped out their little block over here in the Church of God, and these that have chopped out their little block over here in the Presbyterians, or wherever it might be out of all the denominations, they're bringing their little bit. Those people that are learned in that capacity, even as it is among the Muslims, there are good
teachings among the Muslims as to some traits of moral decency. And even as our people, as too, from here in America, supposing to be the cream of the crop, going over into the foreign country, it was there that they taught our soldiers a lesson and taught our people a lesson. While as our soldiers get drunk or revel, do the things that they do, wreck homes and defile women and daughters and men and everything else, and losing their virtues. Over there, they held to their virtues, and a lot of their women still wear the veil as to shame face. And when the men over here got ready for drink, they would not drink with them. They had to drink soft drinks, and they would not let them do it there in their area and in their presence. And when he come to their women and the men going out working together, they said nay. They wouldn't allow that. See, that is 10 times the decency of the traits of America. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, but beautiful America and them people heathen. God don't think of beautiful America and them people heathen. God is no more interested in America than he is Russia, or that he is in Germany, or is in Jerusalem, or anybody else. He's no more interested in Jerusalem than he is America. God is no respect to person. Paul taught this, that God is interested in the future of humanity, and died without respect to person to you and I, that we all might come to repentance. That it's not even his will that the wicked should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life, and not to any denominational way of life, as to any particular head, as to them that emphasizes authority, but rather them that are teaching one authority as to the Lord Jesus, one head as to the Lord Jesus, even the word, for he that God sendeth shall speak my word. And so then preaching the word with all conscience toward God as to being holy and godly and pure of their conscientiously toward you, then we expound the gospel to tell you that you need to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, for it's unto you and unto your children, and as many as be afar off, even as the Lord God shall call. What I've said to one, I've said it to all, or I say it to all, to the Germans and to the Americans and to the Russians and to the Jews and all of the rest, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, where remission for sin shall be taught in his name. For there is none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved except the lovely name of our lovely Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to close the book right here, and I'd like to be able to, as I said again and again, get into some more things as concerning the revelation, especially as to some things that pertain to the translation of the church. But just saying these few little things tonight to exhort you. The Bible said exhort each other the more you see the day approaching. To exhort you that you might understand better the times and seasons that we're living in, and as to what God is expecting of us. Would you like to stand with me? I love him, Brother Taylor. I love him. Can you sing that with me? I love him all because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. I love him all because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. Oh, every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. Help me, Frank. That restores my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. He poured in the oil and the wine. Oh, Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores my soul. Bleeding, dying on the Jericho road. He poured in the oil. Can you sing that with me? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that stirreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil. One more time together. My Lord poured in the oil and the wine. Said he found the man by the roadside, wounded, bruised. The priest came by and didn't help him. But one day the Good Samaritan came by, poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth the soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. He poured in the... Can you sing it one more time? Jesus poured in that oil and the wine. It's the wine that stirreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil and the wine. You love the Lord? Let's sing another chorus or two before we go, can we? When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, or
that won't let the sun shine through.
Seems I hear a voice say, I'll there be a better day. Don't allow the cloud to hide sweet heaven's view. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow ring down here. One more curve in life. You've got one more mile to go, and you can lay down a heavy load when you get
home. Don't let Satan see your fears. Try to smile above your tears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way. It'll be worth it all someday. For gonna be over after a while. Sing that with me. You've got one sorrow, one tear. You've got one more trial in down here. One more curve in life, Lord. Just one more mile to go. When you lay down heavy load, you get home. You got one more valley, one more. You've got one. Jump long ago, and you can lead down the road. You get home. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. To smooth out the roads that leads to heaven up above, I'll make it easy for those behind. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping all we have behind. I'm just that leads to heaven up above, I'll make it easy for those behind. The road to heaven, it's straight and also narrow. The gate around us trials of every kind. I'm going to slow down the road that leads to heaven. For those that sing that with me. So I'm working roads to glory, working the road to glory, helping the weak and blind. Move out the roads that lead to heaven up above, I'll make it easy for those. The road to heaven, it's straight and also narrow. The gate around us, trials of every kind. Going to smooth out the snares at hand. Offer my prayers and make it easy for those that send out with me, can you? We keep working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. Going to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above, will make it easy for those. I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no worldly fame.
So I don't want,
sing that with me,
no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for me. God's everything.
One more time.
So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no diamond ring, but I need the love of Jesus for me. God said, and he was here my Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was
sing it again now.
My Lord was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting touch me oh he touched me and oh the joy that floods my soul, something has happened, and oh, I know that he touched me, and he made me whole. When I stand upon the mountain, looking city gives me faith that I can make it after all. Far and all this life is all over, and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand on the mountain, oh, so looking over into the city, I find Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I make it
sing that again.
For after all life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand on the mountain on some looking over into bearing gives me grace, and I can make it after all.
Let's sing this little chorus.
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll through eternity? I ask this question: where will you be? Just one life to live under, then its will it passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? Sing it with me now. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question: where will you be?
Let's try this one.
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again.
Sing that with me now.
Across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. In this world we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay where there's real ill happiness and love that's true. He sat across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Sat across the bridge, there's no more pain. Cause the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. For time shall be no more, no more than time shall be, no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land. And time,
can you lift your hands up with me, can you? Swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time shall be no more. And time, the Bible said it, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them as on the law.
All the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no.
Just one more time together, we'll sing.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
I think I'll ask Brother Gerald Williams, if he will, to come up and dismiss us.
Glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain.
Once again, as Gerald comes,
and we